Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to author G.D. Grace's A Touch of Grace, Literary Magic, on Blog Talk Radio.
Sometimes I wonder where I've been, who I am, do I fit in? Make believing is hard alone out here on my own.
Yes, such an introspective message in that song.
That was nice.
It called out here on my own. It called out here on my own.
Shit.
From the
19... that was beautiful. It was beautiful.
All right, I guess that was a little leftover from the song intro today. The song is called Out Here on My Own. And it is from the 1980s blockbuster film, Fame, sung by the lovely Irene Cara. And I honestly believe that it is so appropriate for today's interview. And that is because as artists, we sometimes have to fly solo quite a bit to actually produce the things that God gives us to produce in song, on canvas, in sculpting, in poetry. Sometimes we just have to fly it all alone. But first, before we begin, a quote. I awakened and found you there, beaming with brilliant light. You arrived, dazzling as only you could, kissed by the very lips of God, who deemed you Sabbath. You are Sunday. People of the world, I'm your host, GD. Welcome to iArtist Presents on the 126th episode of A Touch of Grace. Today's date is April 6, 2014, and the time, 1:30 p.m. The greater gifts of humanity are love and art. Today's guest hails from South Carolina, and he now resides in ATL. Our marvelous twist of fate allowed our paths to cross on this ancient, never-ending timeline we call life. He is an artist in heart, bleeding color and introspective on blank slates that become representations of inner light and soul. In his future, there are visions of art exhibits for he'll share his life work with people of the world. Getting to the next level always begins with taking that first step upward, letting go and letting God. On our guest for today is the artist the world will know as Byron Culbreth. Byron, welcome to iArtist Presents. How are you this Sunday?
Great.
All right. All right, I forgot to open up your mic. So how are you this Sunday?
I'm doing wonderful.
Well, that's great. I'm glad to have you on the show, and I want to send a special shout-out to your friend John for introducing us. I think that this is going to be a great show. You're the very first artist that I've ever had on the show, so this is a first here on A Touch of Grace and its long four-year play. Where did you grow up at? I guess that's the place that it would be appropriate to begin. Where did you start life at?
I grew up in a small town called Twin City. You pretty much can pass through it by the blink of an eye. You have one caution light. You have everybody knows everybody, so it's a pretty small town. Although it'd be small, you would think there's nothing to do, but it's always, we find things to do. If it's nothing but having cookouts and gatherings with family and friends, so. But it's a wonderful town. I'm really blessed to be able to be born in a small town as Twin City. So.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, it sounds to me like it was a very cool place to grow up as a kid. You know, I imagine that there were adventures as a kid, like riding bicycles and going different places. How did you occupy your time in such a small town?
Well, me personally, I was in a little small, from where I live, we live in a little area, it was nothing but family and everything. So I pretty much would like to watch TV and everything. So I would take time to really, you know, to myself. A lot of times if I don't want to be bothered or anything, I like to take time to myself. And I watch a lot of art shows and all that. So me being a creative person, I like to look at different shows that shows you how to do certain things or whatever. So, and I take the time to try to learn those things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love art shows. There was a guy that he was a white guy, had an afro. His name was Bob Ross, and he would come on every Saturday and Sunday, and he'd say, oh, we're going to go ahead and put the little bushy tree here. And then, you know, right before your eye, you know, this blank canvas becomes this, God, this landscape, this ocean landscape, or this, you know, cabin in the woods type thing. And I just thought that he was fantastic. He was also a very good friend for me. And so when you're talking about growing up in a small town, was the existence lonely for you? I know that you have family around and everything, but did you ever get lonely?
I wouldn't say I get lonely. Basically, it's pretty much I may have the, well, I take that back. I do get a little lonely sometimes, but at the same time, I end up getting myself into a creative mode, or I may get around something that's going to really bring my spirits up to let me over, to look over that void in my life as far as me feeling lonely. But I end up doing things that can, like, keep me busy to keep my mind off that. So by me doing that, I gather myself, you know, surround myself with friends and, you know, family and of that nature. So.
Mm-hmm. I see. You know, I grew up in a small neighborhood, urban neighborhood in Northern California called East Palo Alto. So there were a lot of children around for us to play with, and our relatives were kind of scattered across the United States. So I just remember as a child, because I read something in your bio where the athletic part was something that you weren't part of. You actually tuned into your art creative, and so that's pretty much how you spent your day. So how did your parents feel about you spending so much time alone with your art?
Well, they really are a very supportive family. I am so blessed to have my mom and my dad. They're very supportive, and as well as my two siblings as well. They see a lot in what I do, and they always congratulate me in everything that I took part in as far as me going with my art. It has been to the point where my mom has loved my art to the point that she has my paintings throughout the house hanging on her wall. And so, and then on top of that, she has been letting her coworkers know, or and other people too, that she come across that they may want like an art piece done or something. She's always been supportive by letting people know that I do that kind of work, and she's that kind of person, and I'm so blessed to have her in my life. But that's how I how she is to me, as far as you know, helping me or whatever.
Mm-hmm. You know, I remember there were times when I'd come home from high school and there was a guy, and I remember his name was David Piazza, and David would draw these beautiful pictures. Oh, my God, Byron, they were just amazing. So I would go home and try to emulate it because my existence was similar to yours, and I would sit, and it would take hours. I mean, I'd get off from school and I'd, you know, forego homework just to draw. And so when we are artists and we put our work out there for others to see, it's almost like we're putting part of our soul out there. So as an artistic person, did you ever encounter kids who didn't understand you or who teased you as you were growing up?
No. Well, everybody has a little bully or, you know, as you're growing up. But for the most part, it was more the question you're asking me, you're saying, have I ever been bullied, or can you repeat that question?
Yeah. It seems to me like when I was growing up, well, this is my own experience, and I'm always interested to see what other artists have to say. I was pretty soft-spoken. I actually was sort of introverted because, you know, that's what allowed me to actually do the art or be in a room singing with a broom handle, you know. And then when I go out into the world, you encounter kids that were a little bit more aggressive or assertive. So my question to you is, you had mentioned that you actually had your bully. So let me ask this. Tell us about your bully and how you dealt with your bully.
The bully I had was pretty much when I was being teased by how I look, for his face structures or whatever, which I have to sit down and I felt bad about myself for a moment. But as I sat around and I started talking with, I met certain people throughout my life that has dealt with that same situation. And they, you know, shared some of their, what they have dealt with as well. And by me talking with them, it has really, like, opened me up and, you know, brought my spirits back to saying, well, hey, I'm human just like everyone else. Why am I different? Why should I feel bad? You know, because as you look at it, you know, we're all created by one person. And, you know, and each one of us has something special about each one of us. Either it's our what's the word I'm trying to say? If it's me being creative or whatever, it's we all have something special about one another. I mean, about each other. So I that's the way I look at it. So.
So the question that I have for you then, okay, so the way you dealt with the bully is you actually found people that had something in common with yourself. And so you sound like you were actually able to move along in life and channel your frustrations into your art. So I know that you attended an art college. So about how old were you when you attended the art college?
I attended there in when I was 21, when I turned 21. So, and that was like in 2000, in year 2000, 2001.
And what was the name of the college?
It's the Art Institute of Atlanta, where I graduated with an associate's degree in graphic design. And so, that was my school, and I missed that school, too.
Well, I have a question for you, because I've never had the opportunity to go to an art college, and I know that we have a great art institute in San Francisco. So at a conventional school where you're learning, you know, math and you're learning history and all those types of things, what was the curriculum like for you at an art college?
Well, as like any other college, we still had to take our core classes or whatever, and then we also had to take a little art history. And first, you know, we had to learn about how art began and what it brings, you know. While I was doing that, those classes, it let us know as to how other artists, that, you know, artists that's already out there, were there, where they started. And so as far as, you know, getting classes, just the same as any other college. It was just the college I went to was a private school. And so it was just pretty much the same thing. But it was basically you had to take your core classes, your Englishes, and whatever, in order to get to the main thing. Because when you go out and start looking for a job or whatever, those math and all that still come into play into your career, because you have to do measurements and all that kind of stuff too. So it works the same way.
Okay, that's interesting. I always wanted to know that. Okay, so let's talk about how this formulated. As I mentioned to you, there was a guy in school that drew his behind off, and I actually said, oh, I could do that. So I actually sat down and started drawing. So what were the earlier years like for you as an artist? What was a defining moment that drew you to the table to sit down or to the canvas to actually draw or paint something? Do you remember that moment?
Not really. I can vaguely think.
Well, how about this? Do you remember the very first thing that you painted or drew?
The very first drawing I did was, it was before I actually, you know, started, you know, when I first started drawing, I first started drawing stick people. I think that's where everybody starts off, you know, is drawing stick people. And as I grew, I began to change as to how I would draw or how I would paint. And I started from drawing stick people, I started drawing, training myself to try to, when I do any drawing of anything, I start using shapes, basic shapes. And when I'm using basic shapes, I turn it into a regular shape of it ends up turning into a image that will actually be known. You can figure out exactly what it is. But as time changed or whatever, for me as a child, from an early child into the art or whatever, things have changed over time until I became to where I am now, where everything is pretty much is really noticeable, you know, as far as in detail. I've gained a lot of, you know, as me practicing over the years, I begin to become very detailed in everything that I do, which that's pretty much a lot of it came from me when I was in art school, I had an instructor that was always into detail. So when we was I went to school for graphic design, and we had an advertising class I had to take, and we were drawing with images or whatever. And she would look at each of our drawings or whatever, and she would always tell us that you need to look, take the time to actually look at the image you're drawing. If you can find an image, say, for instance, if I was looking for a rose, I'm trying to draw a rose, she would always tell me, you take the time to actually look at a real rose and look at the detail. And so by me looking, taking that on, into my everyday job, or as far as me doing drawing or whatever, I began to just take that on. You know, it has really made it part of me by me being very careful to draw to very detailed to anything that I do.
Yeah, you are very detailed. There's one of your pieces that I really love, and it looks to me like it's Obama. It's President Obama. His hand is waving. Then there's a profile view of him, and then there's the American flag. And I could definitely see just how detailed you are in your work. So how long ago did you draw that piece? Did you draw after he was elected president, or was it prior to?
It was, matter of fact, when he was when the time he was just elected, and then it was shown on the computer. I mean, not computer, on the television. I was like, oh, man, I love that. You know, I need to do something, you know, because this is something, a big thing has happened. It's made history. So I actually want to do this and put this on canvas. And so as, because, you know, throughout the day or whatever, it kept repeating over on the TV. So I was like, I said, you know what, I got to put this on canvas. I have to put this on canvas. So I kept saying to myself, I said, I wonder if once I get it to where I want it, I send it to Obama, how would he feel about it, or what would he think about this? And I, you know, even now I still thought about sending it to him. I got that image from me. I was snapping pictures from the TV, matter of fact, from my little cell phone. And I was taking pictures of him from on the television, and I was like, yeah, I got to put this on canvas. So that was me to capture the details and just to put it on canvas, and I finally got it to where I want it. And when I finished it, I was like, I showed it my mom, I showed it my brother. My mom was like, wow, you know, you did a real good job on this. I said, well, and then she made the same thing I was saying. I said, well, she was saying, well, I wonder what Obama think if you sent it to him. I'm like, yeah, that would be something to really think about. But I did, you know, believe it or not, I did go online or try to find out how I can send it to him, but, you know, I didn't go forward with it.
Well, you know, one thing I got to say is that I encourage you to be fearless, because your work is phenomenal. There's another picture of you. It's actually of you. It's from the live photo that is on the PR for the show, where you're standing next to a light post. So you actually drew a picture of yourself. And what was that experience like as you were drawing the picture of yourself? What emotions were going through your mind as you actually sat down to draw a picture of yourself?
Well, you know, after me, you know, I was telling you about how I felt when I was younger, and I felt like I wasn't, I didn't feel like I looked a certain way. So I kept looking at myself in nature. A picture was taken by my cousin. That was around Easter time one year. And she took that picture. And anyways, I was looking at that picture or whatever, and I kept saying to myself, I said, out of all the times that when I was younger, I thought I was just a, you know, I didn't feel like myself. I didn't feel like I was human. I really felt like I was low or whatever. But as I look at that picture, I am really, I have to say for myself, I am a nice-looking guy.
All right.
So, I'm a nice-looking guy. So I was like, I said, you know, I have to encourage myself And, you know, even if no one else think that, at least have that about myself, feel that way about myself, you know. And so, but as I was looking at what was going through my mind when I drew this picture, I was like, I said, you know, I was actually wanting to notice what this picture would look like it was drawn. And so I did, you know, take upon myself to draw it, and then I did paint it as well. And so the picture that you see that is on the, that shows the advertising of my show, of the show, it was actually, it just shows that the original picture, which is that is on the show, that one is, it only shows from the waist. When I took it upon myself to continue on and do like a continuation of the picture as to how it would look if I had the whole body. So that was pretty much showing my whole, I was like, a vision that I had in my mind as to what it would look if I painted the whole picture.
So what I want to do is I want to go back to your picture of Obama because I like it. As a matter of fact, I like all of your art. I think that your eye for color and detail is very sharp. And as an artist, you're just going to continue to grow and grow and grow. And I know that these pictures will be some of, you know, some of your babies because they were the beginnings. So if there's anyone listening out there, first of all, anyone listening out there today, we're talking to the artist Byron Colbert. He is the very first artist on the show. And so it is my attempt to showcase this talented young man and give him a platform and exposure for his artwork. And so if there's anybody out there that knows how he can get his work, this picture of Obama, to the president, feel free to let us know how to do that because I know that we're all creative, can-do people. And I honestly believe that it's something, it's collectible. You know, it's something that I know that he would love, especially since it came from you. So now we talked about the picture with the president. We talked about the profile picture of yourself. But the question that I have, and I notice, you draw a lot of people. And I know that in art, it's vast. Some people, like I said, Bob Ross, who we both, it sounds to me like you know who he was, he used to draw these beautiful seascapes. Are you solely an artist that likes drawing people, or have you ventured out and drawn other types of art?
I like to draw other types of art, but I still want to stick with, I would rather stick with the realistic. I'm more of a realistic artist. I really haven't really experienced the abstract side of art. But you know, I was thinking about, I said I'm gonna try something different, which I'm also a person that always like to try different things as far as being creative, as far as the art side. But the abstract is something I really, it's still gonna take me a minute to really get into it, as to what I should, how would I, you know, bring myself through abstract. You know, I know a lot of people use, they say abstract is like all about how you feel as far as like the strokes of the brush or the color of the paint. It's if you're throwing paint on canvas, it's showing like some kind of dramatic feel that you're maybe going through at the time. But me personally, I really haven't gotten into that. You know, as far as the abstract, but you know, as far as the other types of art, it's mostly into realistic. It's either it can be from people or to landscapes, be animals of that sort. But as far as just actually doing this basic shapes or, you know, doing different strokes on the canvas, I haven't experienced that.
Okay, so I have a question for you, and I hope it doesn't make you blush. I know that from some of the sitcoms I've seen, there's always this one segment that an artist, like somebody is dating someone, and the young lady that they're dating actually goes to an art class, disrobes, and allows her body to become the muse for the artist. Has that ever happened to you?
Well, I really haven't had that opportunity to, I mean, for someone walking in and wanting me to paint them nude. Well, I haven't had that experience as of yet. And I have had someone to ask me when they've seen my artwork, do you do nude pictures? And I was like, I said, no, I have not, you know, did nude pictures, but, you know, I will, you know, I would, you know, go for it, which, without a doubt, hey, I'm a guy, so, but I have been asked to do nude pictures as well.
Yeah, it reminds me of an episode. Now, I'm dating myself. There was a show called Good Times, and there was a mother, a father, and three kids. And the guy known as JJ was actually an artist. Now, I know that the artwork that was used as his in the show was actually from another great artist, and I can't think of who that person's name is. But one thing that I noticed about it, there seems to be a rhythm to certain art. So do you have a definition for the type of rhythm that you have when you're doing your art?
Really?
Let me ask you this question. Okay. So when you're sitting down to paint, is there a climate that you create so that all your creativity will be almost like a meditative type of zone? Do you play music? Do you light candles? How do you create the mood when you get ready to do your thing?
Okay. Well, how I set the mood is I'm a person who loves music. It's all types of music. I really don't like to be in a room when it's very quiet. So I like to have something that's going to really keep me going. The beat of the song would keep me going, and it keeps me focused on to whatever I'm doing at the time. So it can be from gospel, it can be R&B. That's pretty much what I do and when I'm doing artwork. Sometimes when I can't find the music, I have a TV on or whatever, but I don't watch TV as much. A lot of times it just be on for noise. But I just need something just to really keep me going when I'm in the creative mode.
Do you have an art studio at home?
I don't have an art studio, but I would like to open up one in the near later on, and as I continue on with my creative abilities, I just have not decided exactly where I would like to do one, have opened one up. But right now, just starting, because this past year, I just started letting people know that I do artwork, because kept it shut in so long, and I was just doing it as a hobby. But as I continued on or whatever, people have seen my artwork, and it was like, you should do this, and you should do that. You have this, and why don't you just do that? So this past year, I did finally took part in an art show way back in 2000. Well, it was last year, and for the very first time, I didn't know exactly what to expect. For a moment too, I was thinking that, you know, I don't think my artwork. Keep saying to myself, you know, when you start being part of something for the very first time, especially if you've been having your artwork displayed, and you're going up against people have most likely have been in, you know, been in these kind of art shows for like years. Like you being the first time, you was like, I would say to myself, I'm like, I don't think my artwork is good enough or whatever. So when I did go in and you know, I just said, you know what, I'm just going to bite the bullet. I'm just going to go in here. Wherever it hits, whatever goes, it goes. At least I tried, you know. And so I decided to go in and take part in the art show. What really blew my mind, I wasn't even expecting this, but one of my pieces that was, where they had this little thing, what they called the Viewer's Choice Award, where people that will come in and look at different arts or whatever, and you have an opportunity to, people will vote on the picture that really grabbed their attention. So I didn't know that I was going to be the one to be chosen. And I was like, me? Me, of all this artwork, I'm being chosen for Viewer's Choice Award. And it was quite a lot of beautiful pictures. So I said, well, you know, when he called my name, I was like, what? And I was like, okay. But now that I made it through this, you know, and by me just going for that for the very first time, I kept saying to myself, I said, well, if I can make it through that, I can make it through anything else that comes towards me, wherever I face. So, yes, I will have to say that I'm really, you know.
Let me ask you a question. I think that's fantastic. And it's when we walk through our fear. When we walk through our fear and just go ahead and go for it, I believe that that's when the magic really happens, when our adrenaline shifts from fear to accomplishment. So how many pieces did you feature at that art show? As a matter of fact, what was the name of the art show?
The name of the art show was actually, the Maine County Extravaganza. I can't remember the name off the top of my head. But it was pretty much where it was a lot of the local artists, and we had to feature at least from like 4 to 5 pieces. Mm-hmm. And we also had the opportunity to actually put prizes on our artwork, where if someone happened to be there and they look at your work and they decided to want to purchase any of your work, they were able to do that, or they leave contact information, they'll contact you and say where you were able to do some other work for them. So that's pretty much what it requires of us at that particular show. And it was free. Mm-hmm. We didn't have to, like, pay to have the work displayed. It was just something that the community do once a year, to try to get local artists to be involved. And so.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and so what was one of the prizes for it? Well, first of all, you said 4 to 5 pieces. And which were those pieces that you featured?
The pieces I put in, I had the I have one, a drawing of it's a very historic building at this very well-known park. It's called the George L. Smith Park. I drew that, and then that was drawn by pencil. And the other one I did was called the Easter Sunday Morning. There was some other things I can remember off the top of my head. But those two pieces was shown. Since they had so many pieces or whatever in a small area, so they cut it down to, they chose to, you know, bring in from 3 to 5 pieces, and they would choose the ones that would actually be great, you know, in the show. So, which I'm glad the ones they chose was the ones I would rather put in myself. Due to the fact that I didn't have the prices on the other ones that I had. But it was just more so to really let them know that I can do other artwork as well. So,
you know what I was thinking as you were talking? This is a very interesting interview. I'm so glad that John introduced this, because it teaches me and it sets the format for future artists that I interview. And I can hear your confidence just continuing to grow as we talk about it. Like we were talking about prior to showtime when I talked to you, if you shoot straight from the hip, when you're talking about what you do, it just comes very natural, and you're doing such a wonderful job. So I just want to let you know that you're doing fantastic, okay?
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, so let's talk about the art show, okay? So you've got your pieces up on the wall, and you've got your prices on them. First of all, how do you determine the price for a piece of your art? How do you determine that?
I determine basically on the time that I take into them, as far as the equipment that I use to create that particular piece. And, you know, for the details or whatever, like I said, I do very detailed. And my price also based on the size as well, because, you know, canvas are not very, very cheap, you know, as you go up in size. They're not cheap. and all that too. So that's basically where I get my prices, or how I determine my prices on them, as well, a piece that I work on.
Uh-huh. Okay. So I always wanted to know that, and now I do, and it all actually makes sense. So here you are, the art show is opening. And so is there music playing? Are people performing? What does an art show look like? And as it's going on, are you walking around answering questions about the art for potential buyers?
Yes. A lot of the, as we going in or whatever, people walks in or whatever, the first thing they do, they look around, start looking at, the different pictures or whatever. And then there is a host that be at the door as you walk in to discuss with them as to what's going on as far as, like, the Viewer's Choice Award. They tell them, okay, they give like little numbers for each, I think it's like a total, maybe 4 or 5 pieces of paper or whatever. Mm-hmm. And they have each painting has like a number and the name of the piece. And they have an opportunity to vote. And based on how many they go by a ballot, that for each piece there is, they count down the ballots or whatever, and which one has the highest for its ballots, that would be the one that wins the Viewer's Choice Award. And at the art show, you have opportunity to where you start meeting, start talking to other artists. You start talking to them for it's like on their paintings as to what view they have when they was doing this picture. A certain emotion that you may go through when you're painting a picture or whatever. You just go into conversation to really know more about the artist and also know about the direction they were trying to get to when they was doing this piece.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's interesting. That's very interesting. I've never gone to an art exhibit, but I actually do want to go. I've interviewed a beautiful song composer. She's an accomplished pianist. Her name is Mary Edwards, and her music was actually featured at an art show. And so I know that there are a lot of components to an art show. It's not just pictures hanging on a wall and people come in. There is a certain clientele that attracts. So
right.
In your own description, what is that clientele like? Are they rich? Are they, just average, everyday working people? Are they people in the industry? What is that clientele like?
I guess pretty much it's not necessarily to be rich, but it all depends on the person at the time. If they feel a piece and they're interested in buying it. So it's pretty much for different from all ages, pretty much.
Mm-hmm. All walks of life. Have you ever sold any of your pieces?
I have had people to ask me about buying a picture from me, but at the same time, like I said, I was just starting out. And I have been asked, so have you ever thought about selling your work? And so, but I have not sold in my work. But I've had asked people have asked me to do portraits of them. So I've had some work of that nature as far as actually work I've created. They have been asked to buy or whatever, but at the time when they asked me, I didn't have in mind that I was going to sell any of my work or whatever, but now that I know that it's a market where my artwork can be sold, I'm now in the process of doing that now.
Mm-hmm. Well, I do know that originals capture lots of money. I mean, the great Picasso and Jean Baptiste, I think is what his name was. Then there's Andy Warhol. I mean, these people, their paintings or their works go for just like phenomenal amounts of money. And I know, like the Mona Lisa, Leonardo da Vinci's Mona Lisa. So these artists have actually, they're superstars as far as artists are concerned, and their paintings are hanging over in the walls in Europe. And Lord knows some of the ones that the accomplished artists, they actually do fork out and make a living. Now, unfortunately, sometimes this don't happen until they're gone, until they're dead and gone. So I know that the originals are on display and that much of what we see, if we see something on someone's wall, are print. So have you put any of your work into print?
No, I haven't. And it's quite well, I have did some research on that. I mean, I actually talked with people as to what the criteria of that being done. And from what they, from the information I received from them, I would have to, like, find, like, a good photographer that is really good on that. So by me not knowing too much about the photography or whatever, I would, like, try to look for someone that have had that experience where they're able to set up certain files or whatever to really get that particular thing done. So I have been doing some research on that. I'm still looking for a photographer that will be able to do that kind of work for me. Of course, you have to compensate them as well because they have to make a living as well. So, but yes, I have been thinking about, you know, doing that because I have to think about it too. When I was younger, a lot of times I've seen a lot of artwork or whatever, and then I was always asking myself, okay, why don't someone tell me I want a picture just like that or whatever, and then that's going to take a lot of energy out of me to try to make that picture look exactly like the original one when I can just actually go someone and have someone actually print it up and it will look just like the original piece. You know, so where I can use the time, to, instead of me trying to use the time to try to focus on, try to get that particular piece just like the original, I can be using that time to something else, you know, another painting as well.
Yeah, so I always wondered. I know that you're still relatively new into in your career as an artist, and it's it, like I said jokingly, but it's true. Sometimes, you know, great artists are not recognized until after they're gone, you know. And so one thing I know as an artist with words, I know that, you know, the work that I've done as far as literary and poetry is concerned will live on long after I do. So the question that I have for you, how hard do you think it's going to be to let go one of your originals when that time comes? If somebody comes to you and says, look, Byron, I love that piece on the president. I want to pay you $50,000 for it. How hard do you think it's going to be to let go of that original?
Wow. Well, it's going to be kind of hard. But, you know, you have to, like you said, you have to try to, I have to learn to try to let go of things. But at the same time, I have to think about it. It's going to bother me for a minute, letting know that, you know, that I'm letting my piece go out there. But at the same time, it's good, too, because it's something that the world is able to see, that you have created something that is going to, it's brought somebody's, it, you know, gotten someone's attention to really look at your work. And so, and they're willing to pay that amount of money for one of your pieces. And so, and at the time when I first, when they tell me, yes, you know, I'm a, they're going to pay me, I'm like, yeah, that's good. Too, but at the same time, I'd be feeling kind of like, but then again, I have to let that go because I have to keep going. You know, I have to keep living or whatever. And I, you know, that piece is very important to me, but, you know, if that means a lot to them, you know, by paying that kind of money towards, you know, for a piece of mine, I have to really know and say, okay, someone looking at my artwork, they see what I'm worth. So I'm willing to, you know, give it away. I mean, sell it to them for that. At time at first, like I said, it's going to be kind of hard for me.
Yeah. I was wondering about that, especially, you know, all the time and work that can go into producing a piece. So How are you showcasing your art? I know that you did the art show, but do you have a blog to where people can actually go and look at your piece and make comments on it? Or how are you marketing your work today?
I'm marketing right now is I'm pretty much just my work that I do is being done on being posted on Facebook. I am on Facebook, and right now in my community, I have been asked to have my work displayed in a cafe. Yes, I have been asked to have some work done in a cafe, and one of the pictures I've done, I have the one that I told you about the cornmeal of this. It's a landscape picture of the building of the cornmeal at the park called the George L. Smith Park.
Mm-hmm.
I have that, and that is in my little town. That's pretty much the place where a lot of people go, especially if they're going out of town, coming from out of town. They would go there, and a lot of people they love the George Smith, especially during the summer month or whatever. So that's one of the good attractions here in the area. So one of the pictures that I've, well, all the pictures I've done that I'm working on is some either some of the buildings within the community or some surrounding areas that is going to be displayed in that cafe.
Okay, I think that's fantastic. So, listeners of the show, thank you for joining in today. You are listening to an interview with the artist known as Byron Colbert. He's a really big thing. I have to tell you right now, the world doesn't know it yet, but they will soon know who this young man is. I think that his art is very introspective. I think it's very detailed. I think the attention to color is absolutely fantastic. And before we dive back into the final moments of the interview, I want to announce some of the upcoming shows that are coming. So at 1:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, which is tomorrow, Greatest Poet Alive joins us again to spit a little bit of his poetry and engage in discussion about another of my artistic favorites, and that's poetry. Love poetry. The last time he, shared a little bit of his poems, I have to tell you, it's funny how you hear a person metamorphosize into this, it's like a spiritual experience. So I hope you tune in for that because he's going to be reciting two full poems during that interview tomorrow. Then at 2:30 p.m. on Tuesday, the 8th, the platinum-selling R&B group of the 90s, High Five, joins us to discuss the past, the current, and the future musical endeavors that they have in store for the world. So I'm very excited about that. That was made possible by World Media as well as Extravagant Entertainment, who just keeps on sending me great artists to interview. So Street Player Presents will be interviewing the 90s R&B group High Five on Tuesday at 2:30. Then on Thursday at 1:30, which is the 10th of April, Southern R&B performer Mr. Zay will climb aboard the Grace Train to talk music and life. So now we're going to go back to the guest of the hour, and that's artist Byron Colbert. So the question I have for you, if people are interested in getting your art or connecting with you, how can they reach you, Byron?
They can reach me actually on Facebook, matter of fact. It's Byron Deshaun Culper. It's my name. I have not set up a Twitter account or anything, but I'm always on there. I'm always communicating with people. So that's a good way you can get in contact with me.
Okay. And that's Byron, B-Y-R-O-N, Culbreth. It's C-U-L-B-R-E-T-H for those who are listening. And I encourage everybody listening to go out and really support what this young man's doing. I mean, he's a future Picasso actually in the making. He is a success in his own right now. His art is fabulous. So what I'd like to know, just out of curiosity, I mentioned Europe. Europe is a hub of centuries-old art. And I'm wondering, as an artist, is there something on your bucket list, which you're too young to even have a bucket list, but is there something or a desire within you that would actually want to go to Europe and experience that?
I would love to. I'm a person that likes to go to different places to learn about different areas. I would love to go to Europe to just, you know, just to go there just for the environment. But, you know, once I go in a new place, I start picking up different ideas as to how I would like to do my paintings or whatever. Everywhere I go, I'm always, you know, getting ideas as to how I would like to, you know, use certain images or certain ideas for any artwork that I do. Based on the certain flowers they have there or whatever, maybe the architecture of certain buildings. So I'm always, you know, getting ideas in anything that I do, is, you know, as far as artwork. So by learning from different areas and different cultures.
I think that's fantastic. And I know that one day you will go exactly where it is you desire to go, because I know that your art is going to take you so many places, Byron. I am so honored to know you as a person, but also too as a fellow artist. And so the question that I have, and you may or may not have an answer right now today, but what level or how are you going to take your art to the next level so that it becomes an entrepreneurial experience as well as an artistic one?
Well, I will continue on just doing artwork until I continue to grab, you know, someone's attention to the point that I'm getting well-known. I'm building my my clientele up as far as me. When I do one piece for one person, they will refer me to somebody else. Pretty much how I would do my entrepreneurship is becoming an artist.
Well, I think that the future ahead of you is so bright and filled with color and much emotion from the artwork that you produce and share with the world. And I want to encourage you to just stay on the trail that you are on right now, because you will inspire so many people. So this is the moment of the show where I'd like the artist to talk to an up-and-coming artist, because there's always someone ahead of us. There's always someone ahead of us, but know this, there's always someone also in back of us as far as their journey is beginning. So what final word of wisdom would you like to give for that budding young artist that wants to follow in the footsteps of a Byron Colbrecht?
Okay. I would say this for anybody that wants to become successful, not just saying an artist, but successful in anything they decide to do, regardless of if it's becoming an artist or what have you. But I will always say, you know, in the process of you trying to reach your goals, regardless of what it is, you have to also give yourself, instead of giving yourself reasons why you can't, give yourself reasons why you can. And by you giving yourself a reason why you can, it will take you further in life.
I love it. Give yourself, for those who are listening, let me recite that again. Give yourself reasons why you can, because you're so worthy. So it has been an interesting hour with you, Byron. And I would like to say on behalf of A Touch of Grace and its listeners that it has been an extreme pleasure to have someone so gifted on the show. And I just want to say that if you want to come back on the show, all you need to do is shoot me a text message or an email, and you let me know, because A Touch of Grace wants to be a part of your progression, okay?
Thank you. Really glad you have me on.
Well, thank you. And once again, you did a fantastic job. And this interview is only the first of many. So if there's anything you need, you let me know, okay?
All right, man. Thank you.
You're welcome. You have a wonderful afternoon. And for the listeners today, I have a final message to you that I'd like to leave you with today. Be not afraid to be a leader. Fear not future, for it has not arrived. Open up your mind and allow the best part of you to shine for all the world to see. Look within and see who you really are and let it be. Understand how liberating individualism can be. You are a light destined to shine. And once you embrace the power of you, you will emerge from many and dwell with the few. So love yourself, because you know something? GD loves you very much. Take care and have a beautiful day.